There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. My name is Dalton Orwig, and I'm filling in for someone named Sean Sullivan today for Midday Mobile. He's making his way back from D.C., or at least that's what I was told he was doing. He's usually pretty truthful, so we'll take him at his word this time. Sean coming back from D.C., he and Jeff Poor were up there at the Fair Conference, Immigration Reform, this week, and they're making their way back. And today during the show, we'll run at least portions of some of Sean's interviews from earlier this week. But we have a bigger reason that we're out and about today on Midday Mobile. We are over at the USA Health Strata Patient Care Center. And if you're unsure what the Strata Patient Care Center is or where it is, it's there on the campus at USA Health, just across from USA Children's and Women's Hospital. And we got a car seat safety check going on here. Tobias and Comer Law presenting it. USA Health getting the check done. Nice little line that's already been forming here with folks coming through to make sure that they've got their kids safely installed into their vehicles. And on the mobile command unit right now, we have a couple gentlemen who made this happen. That would be Desi Tobias and Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law. Gentlemen, I've seen both of you individually plenty of times. I think we've seen each other, all three of us together, once or twice, but usually it's one-on-one. It's good to see both of you at the same time today.
Yeah, Dalton, good to see you again, good as always.
Yep. Yeah, and I want to first off commend you guys for sponsoring this event, for making sure that this happens. And it's because this week is Child Car Passenger Safety Week, or just Child Passenger Safety Week.
Right.
It'll run through this weekend. So what better week than this week to do a car seat safety check? Pretty important to make sure those kids are strapped in, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great day for this. There's plenty of folks from USA Children's and Women's out here, certified car seat inspectors checking. Not only is the car seat installed, but if I've seen a few kids, and if you come here with your child, they'll make sure that you're installed properly too, or they're installed properly.
Yeah, and Desi, I was wanting to bring my vehicle down to get the car seats checked. Maybe I still can right after the show, but I'm obviously in the van today. My way to kind of get both things done was to maybe put the car seats, the kids' seats here in the van and see if they could check them out and make sure they were safe in here. But that did not go according to plan. So there's already a pretty good line. You've been out here a few minutes, Desi.
Yeah, I have. It's a good line. A lot of people helping. A lot of volunteers, it appears, from South USA. And I enjoy being in your van. I made a comment about Scooby-Doo. This is really cool. So
yeah,
being here on location with you, Dalton.
Yeah, the mystery machine.
Indeed.
I guess sometimes that's pretty valid for this van here. No one really knows what's going on sometimes, but let's get a little serious here and say, you know, why you guys have decided to make this part of your mission, child car seat safety.
Yeah, well, you and I have talked about this several times, Dalton. I mean, we both have small kids, and, you know, I can't tell you if you get your child from a caregiver, and maybe that car seat's not quite in right, and you want to make sure, well, you know, that people are educated on how to install these things properly. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we all care about our children, and we all want our children to be safe, and that's very important. Desi's children are older, but he has four, and this is something that's just very near and dear to us and a great service here for the community.
Yeah, it is. We had four kids, and we're very careful about that, but all of us has heard those terrible stories, which led to this car seat awareness. Just going around the block going to the store and not strapping someone in, and I've known several times that happened, and a terrible, tragic thing. It's the violence of a vehicle crash. We all see what happens and what can happen to a small 20, 30-pound child inside a vehicle when those kind of forces are at work. That's something very important, and thank you, Dalton, for supporting this.
Yeah. And not only when they're not strapped in, but we've talked about this on the show before. If you strap them in, but the car seat's not installed properly, then they just become a missile.
Yeah.
You know, and that's even more momentum that they have with bouncing around inside the car. And it's this is just a really good thing. And I echo what Desi said. We really appreciate y'all coming out and promoting the event.
Of course, yeah. We're glad to be here, especially for something as important as this. And, you know, when I think of car seats not being strapped down correctly, you know, obviously most parents never want anything bad to happen to their children. But there are a lot of parents and probably grandparents listening to us now thinking, that would never happen to me. I'm not that lackadaisical. I'm not, you know, I pay attention. I make sure everything's, but that's the exact people that it happens to. Probably most of the time someone doesn't have their kids strapped into the car seat. They just didn't give it any second thought. Sure. I've personally come close a couple of times to pulling off without them strapped all the way in or the car seat put in correctly. It just happens. But there are many ways to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and, you know, and to your point, I was talking to Courtney earlier, who's one of the certified inspectors out here, and I think it was last year or it was the year before when they were doing these inspections. They had over 180, and there were four that were installed. Properly.
Wow.
I mean, and so you think, of course, my car seat's installed properly. Well, you know, there's a very high likelihood that it might not be, and if so, it's worth it to come out here. It's quick, it's free, and let certified people check to see, is this installed properly?
And I've talked with both of you plenty of times in the past about cases you've worked, and you do a lot of good for the community, but unfortunately, you see a lot of things that most people probably don't want to see or never see, and I'm guessing that's part of what spurred you on into being a part of this.
Yeah, that's true, and we've learned in what we do that you never know what's going to happen out there on the roadway. You could be driving perfectly safe, and it's often the other driver that causes a problem. You leave in the house without a care in the world, and next thing is tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very important, and we do care about the community and the children, and that's why we're here.
Yep. Well, I know if folks want to get more information on you guys, TobiasComerLaw.com is a fantastic website. They can also call for a free consultation anytime, but I'm so glad to see you guys out here, and I'm glad to see cars lining up. There's people that are making sure their kids are put away safely, so really appreciate you guys doing what you're doing today.
Absolutely. Right. Thanks for having us, and we'll be here till 3 o'clock, so come on down.
All right. Very cool. Desi Tobias, Brian Comer with Tobias and Comer Law, and we'll be here through at least two, the event going on through 3 p.m. today. So come by. If you got car seats in, go ahead and make sure they're strapped down correctly. Coming up, we'll play some clips from Sean's interviews earlier this week as he was up in Washington, D.C. Also, we'll talk to some more folks around here. Maybe Courtney will come in. Courtney Thompson, who's with the Children's and Women's Hospital. More Midday Mobile on the way. Stay tuned.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back to Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. My name, Dalton Orwig, filling in for Sean Sullivan today as Sean makes his way back from D.C. We are live and on location here at the Strata Patient Care Center, just across from the USA Children's and Women's Hospital. It is Child Passenger Safety Week across the nation, and in honor of that, want to make sure your kids are strapped into those car seats correctly. So a car seat safety check here at USA Health It's presented by our friends at Tobias and Comer Law, and we're here helping to draw attention. And even if you're not able to make it out today, which I encourage you, they have experts out here that are checking those car seats. Just keep that in mind. If you're driving those kids around, driving those grandkids around, you want to make sure that you're keeping them as safe as possible. So even if it's just a secondary thought during your day, hey, maybe I need to make sure that thing is strapped down correctly. That's all we can ask from you. So I mentioned Sean earlier. He's been in D.C. this week. So is Jeff Poor. They've been at the FAIR conference, an immigration reform conference. And Sean had quite a bit of good interviews this week. One of those interviews, the former Attorney General of the United States and former senator from right here in Alabama, longtime Senator Jeff Sessions, was in town, and he spoke to Sean a little bit about immigration. That was one of the main things he was focused on as Attorney General and before then as senator. So get Jeff Sessions' thoughts on that. Here's a clip from Sean's interview with Jeff Sessions earlier this week.
Good to see you, sir.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Sean. And
I've missed our conversations.
Yeah, it's been over a year. This is the first day in over a year, I guess, I've done any. But let me be frank to your listeners and to you. This election and the immigration question is huge. And if the Democrats do not pay a price politically for what they've done to eviscerate the progress that the Trump administration made, it's worse than it was when Trump took office.
Mm-hmm.
It is an absolute evisceration of law. It gave away. People don't know how hard the last 4 years of Trump was to make the progress that was made. There were lawsuits. We at DOJ were in lawsuits
constantly,
everywhere,
yes,
trying to write regulations and defend them and lawsuits and so forth. So anyway, the juices are flowing a little bit.
Yeah,
we need to see some people lose office, and then we need to go into the next presidential election and fix the job. So, and the most important thing, I believe a lot of people think it's hopeless. I do not believe that. That is not so.
And you're a man that has been fighting this battle before it was the thing most Americans were awake to.
Well, that
and
is
and
true.
You have, and you have faith, you have hope that there's...
I absolutely
because people
do.
On the text line earlier said, why do y'all keep talking about nothing's going to be done? You know, they were chiming in from home, said, it's just a bunch of people talking, nothing will be done. So, Senator, I mean...
Well,
let's
be real plain about that. If Trump had been reelected, I believe there's a very good possibility that by the end of 8 years, we would have restored legality to our immigration system. And if voters will make the other side pay a price for undermining law,
mm-hmm.
Vitiating the stay in Mexico policy, Title 42,
right.
Reversing several of the agendas that I advanced, and that Homeland Security people advanced, if they accept that, and send back a body of politicians that are comfortable with that,
right,
and have no interest in fixing it, then we can. It's hard to complain. I don't want to hear them complain anymore.
Right.
But everybody needs to know that their member of the House or their senator not only is saying a few things correctly about immigration, but are really committed to taking some votes to fix it. And that means sometimes you have to tell the Democrats, we're not going to support some agenda that you want until you support an agenda we want.
Right.
Even though we don't have 60 votes maybe in the Senate. And will you give us some votes on this to get to 60 and we'll pass this? We may support your bill. And how Trump prevailed on Mexico is to agree to the remain in Mexico policy, which is the biggest thing he achieved in 4 years. And Biden gave away within days of becoming president, just gave it away. But he had to, I don't know, he made some deals with them. I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's what I wonder.
I don't know what they were, but he did some things to get that deal. So, but you got to have people committed to it.
Who is leading him around, Senator, that told him that this was a thing? Not only, like you said, didn't just go back to the Obama level. Reverse beyond that. I mean, this is beyond a crisis. I mean, politically, you think maybe the Democrats would say, hey, we better not go this far because what what Mr. Sessions and Sean are talking about right now is going to happen. People are going to wake up when you have Mayorkas sitting there saying everything's fine, the border's secure. You have the Vice President of the United States, even Chuck Todd, paused when she said, oh, yeah, the border's secure. I mean, regular American folks go, what?
Yeah, and a lot of people who are unhappy with it have given up, and they just don't care about it much anymore. But, no, I think you're right. This is what one person said to me today, actually. His theory was that you had the socialist Bernie Sanders and all running for the Democratic nomination. A lot of people realized they would lose badly in the general election. They decided Biden was the only guy and that he was made a deal with the devil, a Faustian bargain, mm-hmm. to be radical on several key issues. I find that not too plausible, but it makes about as much sense as anything else. How he has gone so far. Look, let me say to our listeners in Alabama, they've attacked us who want a lawful system of immigration as being racist, as mean-spirited, and illegitimate. Every nation needs, and every nation that has any legitimacy has legal restrictions on immigration.
Correct.
We admit 1.1 million people a year to lawful permanent residence with a guaranteed pathway to citizenship, the most of any nation in the world. We got 800,000 workers here. We got college students and hundreds of thousands. So we're the most generous in the world. We do not need to feel guilty about it. And we need to make sure the policy preserves and protects the national interest of America first. We'll admit certain numbers of refugees who are seriously in threat of life.
Yeah, if that new government there is going to kill that person and their family, that's asylum. But if this new government is not working well and my economic outlook is not as good, that's not asylum.
About 90% of the people that come to the border, 80 to 90%, come for economic reasons.
Is that,
they're not coming.
Is that our law? What is the law?
The law is that they claim asylum, so they come in. And they get caught as a normal illegal entrant, and it's obvious you're here illegally.
Correct.
So you get booted out. Oh, well, we want asylum. And then you have to have a hearing on asylum. And there's an initial finding by the Border Patrol of whether this is a legitimate claim of asylum. 80% plus are found not to be legitimate. People from Mexico don't have to come to the United States. This is not a country that's slaughtering Christians or Jews or people.
Correct. Now, the drug cartel's a different story, but, I mean, that is, there's crime here. Those same cartels are killing people here.
Exactly. Go to New Orleans, number one in the country, non-death, murder. New Orleans resident said, I'm afraid.
I want to get asylum where?
Belgium. Sweden. Sweden, you have to let me in. I'm claiming asylum
because New Orleans is dangerous.
This is all absurd. This whole thing is legally absurd. So I guess what I'm saying to is it's nothing immoral, illegitimate about us wanting to do this. And Canada has a system. Is that a racist, hateful country? No. Canada says if you speak English, you get more points. If you have education, you get more points. If you have special skills, you get more points. Several other factors, you get more points as special abilities. And there's nothing wrong. We should do that. But now we're on the chain migration path and massive illegality. Massive illegality. So this year we will have arrested 2 million people at the border.
What is that? For the years you've been looking at this and talking about this to the American people, let alone us back in Alabama, what does that number mean to you?
That's the
2 million.
That's a proof that we have massive illegality.
I mean, 2 million. You start picturing the cities
that
in
we
Alabama.
Don't have lawful.
Yes.
We got all these Border Patrol agents. So just imagine mathematically, this is something anybody that thinks about it should consider. You got X thousand Border Patrol officers, and a million people come unlawfully for you to deal with. Okay, that's bad. What if it's 2 million? So the math gets to a point where the Border Patrol is overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. There's no way they can process 2 million people and guard the border at the same time.
All right. That was former Senator, former Attorney General Jeff Sessions with Sean Sullivan. Just a part of their conversation. You can listen to the rest through our podcast page on our website, fmtalk1065.com, or it's very easy. You can download the FM Talk 1065 app. That's where I listen to all of our podcasts. You can find that in the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store. Just search FM Talk 1065. Sean live from D.C. Talking with Jeff Sessions there. We'll have more clips from Sean's interview throughout this show. We, right now, are live on location at the Strada Patient Care Center on USA Health's campus, just across from USA Children's and Women's. A car seat safety check. We have experts out here who are making sure those car seats are strapped in correctly. So come out and see us. This event lasting until 3 p.m. this afternoon. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 van when you drive into the campus, and just come that way because that's where the line is, and get those car seats checked out. All right, more coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, it is Midday Mobile. It is not Sean Sullivan. Dalton Orwig filling in for Sean today and took the mobile command unit out. We are at the Strada Patient Care Center. It's on the campus of USA Health, right next to USA Children's and Women's Hospital. Or if you've never made it back on this beautiful campus, it's right there behind the Ronald McDonald House, although there are multiple ways to get here. But the important thing, if you have car seats in, is that you come by today. A car seat safety check. If you see the van over here by Strada, that's where it's all going down, and some experts out here making sure that the kids stay safe. And we're bouncing back and forth, have some interviews that Sean had earlier this week in Washington, D.C. He talked to some pretty notable folks, but I know why a lot of you are tuned in, and that's to get an update on what's happening in the Caribbean as we've watched Fiona wreak havoc through the Atlantic. And thankfully, it doesn't look like that will cause much harm to at least mainland America or the U.S. But there's another one everyone's keeping their eye on, and that's now known as Tropical Depression 9. It's down there in the Caribbean. But why am I talking about it when I have an expert that I talk to every morning? Dr. Bill Williams gave us an update on what he's seeing and where that storm may head and kind of a timeline. Here was Dr. Bill's latest update on Tropical Depression number 9.
Well, it's located now over the eastern Caribbean, and it is moving in a west-northwest direction. We expect it to maintain that today and also tomorrow. But later tomorrow, it most likely will take more of a northern turn, and that will likely bring the center of the storm that will continue to intensify and become a full-fledged hurricane over the western Caribbean, and either go through the Yucatan Channel or possibly over the western portion of Cuba. And that'll bring it into the southeastern Gulf of Mexico on Monday. And after that, likely it will turn more to the northeast and make landfall on the Florida Peninsula. Whether it's the northern part, central, or southern part, it looks like it's going to be a Florida hurricane. And we'll track across Florida on late Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Could it make a turn to the west or maybe move a little bit to the north? Moving to the north is possible, but more likely now it's going to make that turn. And the important time will be tomorrow afternoon when it should make that turn to the north. If it delays that, then it will move that landfall a little farther north and west. But right now it looks like Florida will be there. Now, why is it turning like that? Well, there's a cold front coming through, as I mentioned, on Monday. And high pressure will build over the eastern states, and that will sort of block the storm from moving up toward the central Gulf Coast. The upper air currents will turn it to the northeast toward the Florida Peninsula.
All right, thanks again to Dr. Bill for filling us in, as he does every morning on Mobile Mornings. And then, of course, this time of year. Now, we normally, well, not normally, but we've certainly had busier hurricane seasons than we've seen this year to this point. And when that happens, he's on. Well, we try to get him on every single show that we can so that he can keep everyone updated. Fortunately for Dr. Bill and the rest of us, he hasn't had to do a lot of that work yet this year. So maybe that's why more and more people are paying attention to this particular system. Seems I've seen more panic for this one than I've seen in a long time. You know, 2 years ago, we wouldn't have batted an eye when another storm started to form. We were more worried about the storms that did form and hit us in Sally and Zeta. So coming up next segment, I'm going to play part of an interview that Sean had earlier this week with Dale Leash at Lanyap. And they'll be, in particular, discussing some stuff that was on the Mobile City Council's agenda earlier this week, the Civic Center and renovating that, the entire process behind that, how much is it going to cost, what all will go on that property, how soon is the Corps of Engineers looking to move in, what's the parking situation, so many questions to be answered with that. And also they'll talk a bit about Mayor Sandy Stimson's proposed budget for the next fiscal year and the pushing and pulling going on regarding that. Now, one thing that the City Council has discussed in the past, actually earlier this year, was this ShotSpotter technology. And it's no, you know, it's no mystery. Mobile has had a rough couple years as far as crime is concerned, and we've seen, well, too many shootings, way too many shootings. Things have gotten a bit better. As someone who reads just about every piece of news that comes out of every outlet every single day, I've certainly noticed a drop in the amount of stories involving folks that are getting shot or shootouts around town, but there's still stuff that it's happening, and that's stuff that doesn't even get reported or even reported to police. So these new stats, I find them fascinating in a way, some of these new stats that we have now that ShotSpotter tech has been installed for a couple months, at least now, I guess, and the number of shootings they've picked up. Now, I don't know exactly how many of these cameras they have around this, around Mobile or where they are. Of course, police don't want to tell you exactly where all of these cameras are located. If you're unfamiliar with ShotSpotter technology, they have it in several other cities, and it basically, it's kind of like your Ring doorbell when someone comes to the door or rings the bell, but that motion sensor where you know when someone's there and it lets you know on your phone. It's like that, but it gets keyed on with the sound of a gunshot. And while it's maybe not the not instantaneous that the police know what's happening and where it is, it at least gives them more clues than they've been getting. And apparently, this is breaking information for a lot of the police around here, because these stats, there were 179 shootings detected by ShotSpotter since they went live at the end of July. So it's been just about 2 months. They've had 179 shootings detected, and in those shootings, just about 600 rounds were expended. How many 911 calls resulted from those 179 shootings? Well, according to the stats they've compiled with ShotSpotter, only 3 911 calls. And MPD is reaching out to the community. They're saying, hey, you know, we can't get after those that are committing the crimes if we don't know a crime has been committed. And this is something that they said just a couple weeks ago, to let them know when something criminal is happening and don't post it on social media. I mean, I've probably seen, if you've ever logged into Nextdoor app, you know, that community watch kind of app, it's like Facebook in a way, where people get on there to complain, people get on there to swap, you know, lawn tools, but mostly people get on there to tell you what's happened, car wrecks and gunshots. And I've noticed a bunch of gunshot reports on the Nextdoor app. Of course, Facebook gets them all the time, but apparently this whole time police have not been hearing about a majority of the shootouts that are happening around here. So that's something they're trying to bring attention to now. And I'm surprised. I mean, 179 shootings detected since the end of July. That seems particularly high. I don't know. I have nothing to base that off of except that 179 shootings in 2 months is absolutely insane. Obviously, not all of those or most of those resulted in deaths or injuries, but some pretty sobering numbers coming in now from them. I would like to see more about people that have been captured, criminals that have, suspects that have been ID'd or captured using this tech. So far, the only thing I've seen are that people aren't calling the police when those gunshots are fired. So it's their see something, say something tip line. Just maybe keep this number on you in case you're around town and you see something criminal going on. 251-404-4066 is that see something, say something tip line. 251-404-4066. We are live, Midday Mobile. I'm Dalton Orwig, hosting for Sean Sullivan. He will be back on Monday. And I'm out at the Strada Patient Care Center on the campus of USA Health, just next to USA Children's and Women's Hospital. And what great work they do over here at USA hospitals all around this area. They've been, I had to bring, unfortunately, bring my oldest daughter to USA Children's and Women's just a couple weeks before they began shutting things down for the pandemic, and we had to stay here a couple nights. I'm very familiar with parking here. They did nothing but the best. They took care of us, but more importantly, took care of my oldest daughter. So I will always love this place for that, and you should come by and get those car seats checked out. All right, coming up, more Midday Mobile, some city council talk as Sean talked with Dale Leash earlier this week. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
And welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. My name is Dalton Orwig. You maybe have heard me in the mornings here or elsewhere. You know, I make my way around the station in the different shows, but you can traditionally find me on Mobile Mornings alongside Dan Brennan. Every weekday morning, 6 to 9. But today I'm filling in for Sean Sullivan as he makes his way back from the nation's capital. He and our own Jeff Poor were in Washington for the FAIR conference, so they're making their way back. And we are live at the USA Health Strada Patient Care Center, noon to 3 p.m., a car seat safety check today. It's Child Passenger Safety Week, and Tobias and Comer Law, FM Talk 106.5, and of course, the people putting on the event, USA Health, want to make sure you have those kids strapped into their seats correctly, and the correct seats at that. Make sure it's the right size. We'll talk about that more throughout the rest of the show. Earlier this week, Sean had a conversation with Dale Leash, a fantastic journalist with Lanyap, with a focus on the Mobile City Council. There's been plenty to focus on there, as he and Sean earlier this week talked about what's being done with the Mobile Civic Center, what the plans are, or maybe the non-plans, and also taking a look at Mayor Sandy Stimson's proposed budget for the next fiscal year. Here's some of that conversation that Dale Leash had with Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile earlier this week.
All right, let's check in with my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Hey, Dale.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm up in Washington here, but I'm still paying attention to what's going on at home. And when I saw your story come up the other day about the never-ending saga of the Civic Center, I said, oh my gosh, now what? Your headline here, hold up, planner with city ties could create a new master plan for the Civic Center. Didn't we have a master plan? What was, isn't that what populist was going to, where are we with this?
Well, see, therein lies the issue. I don't know if what populist did, some folks would call, I guess it depends on who you ask. Some folks would call it a master plan. Some folks would not call it that. And so, yes, to answer your question, technically, yes, that is a master plan now because the Planning Commission said it was a master plan. But there are a lot of folks that have significant issues with that being considered as a master plan. So what this would do, this would, you know, Jeff Speck, who we know here in Mobile, related to Scott Speck, the symphony orchestra, he's a pretty renowned urban planner. I think in the Boston area, somewhere Massachusetts, I believe. He has done programs with Downtown Mobile Alliance in the past. And so yesterday's pre-conference meeting, Councilman William Carroll brought up the possibility that Jeff Speck, could do a master plan for the city, and the council will discuss that further at a committee meeting in the future where they'll be presented a scope of work and like a framework of what a master plan under with Jeff would look like in hopes that they might, you know, hire him to do that.
Do we pay for the master plan? I mean, is it just on the come, or do we pay for them to do a master plan, like whether it be Populous or Spec?
Oh no, I think we definitely paid for the Populous plan, the way the Populous plan was sold, and this is my opinion, but the way the Populous plan was sold in my eyes is that it was kind of like a redevelopment plan for the Civic Center. I don't think anybody initially at least thought that it was going to be a master plan document. That kind of came about later when they started to do some of the rezoning work and adding the sub-districts to the Civic Center site that had never been added before because the Civic Center didn't have any zoning before now. And so when they went to add these subdivisions, they came to a problem where it was like, oh, if we're going to do this, we have to have a master plan. Well, let's make the Populous plan our master plan. I don't think it was ever initially sold as a master plan. And I think that's, in fairness to him, I think that's partially why Mayor Simpson has kind of slowed everything down, and we're looking at other options. And so, yeah, this will be one of the other options that'll be on the table.
Of course, every time these things happen, and I don't want us to go with the wrong plan. I'm not racing to failure, but it seems like we do a lot of like looking at our belly button and not doing anything on this.
Well, it shouldn't be a hard or sensitive issue, but you've got so many different interests at stake here. You've got residents who have lived by that place forever that are used to it being a certain way, you know, that don't really, probably to be fair, are maybe a little bit scared of the change, because while it's good for the city as a whole, you know, it will change the way that their neighborhoods work and parking and all that stuff, I'm sure, but they have some issues with that. You've got the Mardi Gras organizations that don't want anything to happen to the arena and mess up what they've got mm-hmm. going on. And then you've got people that want to see, you know, better shows than we get now, because right now the rigging is so outdated. No huge major band can come and bring the sort of thing that they want to bring to other areas. Our stuff is outdated. So you've got like three different variables here. And so it really will take sort of, you know, threading that needle to get all of that to work out to where, you know, even a majority of people aren't upset about it. I think that is the goal here. I don't think you're going to make everybody happy. You've got to come up with a plan that makes the majority of those folks, you know, not incensed. And I think that can be done. And if that takes a couple of different proposals, so be it. I mean, it's in the grand scheme of things, The whole project itself is going to be, you know, millions of dollars. What's a couple extra $100,000 when we're talking about $100 million? Just go ahead and do what you got to do to make sure everybody's, the majority of people are at least satisfied.
Okay. So, and yeah. Any effect with the Corps of Engineers building on this?
Well,
the Corps of Engineers having their own office.
They have said that they can work within the ARB framework. And that they, you know, that they will, that their deadline is maybe like further down. It's not like the very first of the year. So there's some time to work on the plan and to get them within the ARB framework. So it sounds like the core building is still on track. It just, again, slowed down a little bit.
All right. And to transition here, it was like the subject you and I talked about last week. At length, and then about funding for the city, and you talked about the mayor put the budget out, and you thought there were going to be some amendments added here, you know, by the council, and then we got into a discussion of performance contracts and funding for different groups out there and changes that would, and then I see your headline here that Alta Point is maybe going to get a budget cut from the city, and they came to make their case, right?
Well, that's one of the amendments. I don't think it was one that we talked about last week, but that was one of the proposed amendments, was to take $200,000 from Alta Point, $600,000 total performance contract the city gives them for their work with the probate court and other things. And they cut that. Councilman Scott Jones had proposed cutting that by $200,000 and giving that $200,000 to Veterans Recovery Resources, which does very similar work, mental health, substance abuse, for, you know, veterans, first responders, their families, and also indigent patients, just pretty much like AltaPoint, just a smaller scale. So, AltaPoint got wind that their budget might be cut by this amendment by $200,000, and they decided to bring the CEO, Turk Schlesinger, came up there, and they brought somewhere in the neighborhood, I counted only people with white coats, but somewhere in the neighborhood of like 30 doctors with them to sit there at the council meeting, I guess to show support for AltaPoint, and to also kind of argue against cutting them anything, like don't cut their budget by anything. So that's kind of what we were dealing with at the council meeting yesterday. They did not vote on any amendments. Those will be voted on until at least next week. So we'll find out more then probably. They came out in full force.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, and I've interviewed John Kilpatrick. I like what they do with Veterans Recovery Resources. If there was an idea of maybe, you know, can you do this and fund Veterans Recovery Resources from somewhere else without cutting AltaPoint? Is that, or is it just yes or no on that?
I mean, you could, but you got it. But that's the thing about a budget, man. If you can't really, the council can't add money to the budget at this point. So it's a situation where what's in the budget is in the budget, so you have to take it from somewhere else. And so it's a situation, where else are you going to cut? And I think for Councilman Jones and maybe some of the other council members, it made the most logical sense, if that money's going into mental health care anyway, to take it from one pot and put it in another, because you're going to have to cut it from somewhere if you're going to give it. Because like I said, you can't, the council can't add money to the pot. They're just not allowed.
All right, that was part of the conversation that Sean Sullivan had with Dale Leash, talking about the city council, the mayor's budget, all kinds of good things. And, you know, we'll keep our eye on all things Mobile City Council on this station as we move forward. And you can listen to the rest of that podcast. They had more to discuss. You can find that on our website, fmtalk1065.com, or by downloading the FM Talk 1065 app. Coming up, more from where we are right now, USA Health's Strata Patient Care Center, a car seat safety check from USA Health, presented by Tobias and Comer Law. Come out and see us. They're here from noon to 3 p.m. today, checking those car seats out, making sure they're safe. More Midday Mobile on the way.